The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
So, it's an early start for the Blitz today, and an early finish because we got UT basketball. So let's get to it. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Zhong Li, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Joggy Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. It's rock and roll, this puppy. What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
The same.
Good.
More stuff than sports, but a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that time of year where there's a lot of stuff, not as much sports, but still good times. I didn't realize until I was probably 15 minutes away from work. I usually get here around, you know, a little before 3 anyway.
Yeah.
I didn't realize until a little before I got here that we were on the air at 3.
Yeah, so. I it's one of those things that I had this creeping something going on in my head all day that I knew there was something different today.
Yeah.
And we talked about it Friday, so you know, I should have remembered.
Yeah, Friday's a long time ago.
Yeah, then about 2:15, I'm like, oh yeah, we're on at 3 today because there's UT basketball. Because I was looking through my phone at basketball schedules and happened to see UT at 6, and then it snapped. So
that's exactly how I was tweeting out my plays for tonight. It's a light basketball card, but Texas is one of my plays tonight. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. They start at 6, which means we're going to be off the air at 5:30, which means we're on at 3. So, I remember saying, John, we should just be on at 4 and have a short show. So, I remember the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I remember it well.
Well, we should just be on at 4 and have a short show. But that's all right. We're here for an extra hour. What the hell? We'll find something to talk about. Good weekend?
Solid.
Okay.
Solid, yeah. Yeah. It went by really fast, short weekend. I mean, I spent Friday taking care of my dog stuff, and then Saturday was and then I did the Bellator fights on Friday night.
Boy, we got to talk about that Kimbo Slice disaster.
God. And then Saturday my kids started dealing with baseball stuff, like the season, practices started.
That time of year, yeah.
So he got put on a new team. He doesn't know anybody on the team. So we had to go to his first practice. And, you know, it went by fast, but, you know, that's the way weekends work.
That was pretty quiet. I did a lot of celebrating over the weekend, pretty much.
I did some celebrating last night.
But,
although it's hard to celebrate without alcohol.
Yeah.
So I just ate as much as I possibly could, and because I'm trying to lose weight, the only thing I could eat that I knew I'd be able to work off, I had two choices. I could either eat a lot of salad, and that's not really a celebration.
Yeah, no.
Or I could just eat as much meat as I could possibly fit into me, so that's what I did. I put as much cooked meat into my body as I possibly could.
Well done, sir.
Yeah. And I worked it off this morning.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's a good day.
Yeah, I have this weekend coming up, I got a 10K on Saturday and a 5 on Sunday.
I thought you were done with that.
No, I'm done with the half marathon stuff.
You said you were going to go get your knee looked at.
I am, but I'm going to...
Oh, you're such a nut.
I'm already signed up for all these races that I've already paid for.
Ugh.
So until it just blows up on me, I'm just going to keep running on it. I think it's... Well, it's better today. I'm going to see how tomorrow goes. I'm going to go out tomorrow, and if it hurts like it did on Friday, I'm going to the doctor Wednesday.
All right. I try to tell you, the play around with it until it explodes. That's not the way to do things.
I know it's not smart, but yeah, it's I don't want to waste all the money I've already put in these damn things because there's entry fees and all that crap.
I mean, most of it's going to some charity, isn't it?
Well, yeah, most of it.
So just think of it as that.
Yeah.
Think of it as a donation.
Well, speaking of which, I'm doing the that Terry Fox run again on Sunday, and that's the thing I did last year, and we raised a bunch of money for cancer research, and I'll be starting talking about that tonight. I'll tweet it out, and if you guys want to help beat cancer, we're gonna try to do it again this year. We did great last year, raised over $2,500. I know I'm getting a late start this year, so I don't anticipate us doing that much, but I just would, this is the one thing I do every year to raise money.
All right.
Except for some of the other stuff we're going to do later in the year, which that Blitzer scholarship that I threw out there, we're actually going to do that, but we're also going to tie it to our audiobooks. So like how every audiobook we sell, we're going to take a portion for a Blitz scholarship, which, that ought to be, that's a good way to do it, but we're going to do some other stuff too.
All right.
But anyway, I the only thing I did really interesting yesterday was we went around, we had a couple errands to run. We wound up at having a lunch at a Mexican place and watching the Daytona 500 because there was nothing else on. It was either that or women's bowling. And so we started betting over-unders on how many laps before there would be a wreck between the wife and me. And she pretty much beat my ass at it because I kept taking the under. And every time it'd go over. We'd like say, okay, it's lap 128. We're going to go to lap 138. I'll take the under. She took the over. She won like 5 out of 6. And I kept thinking the under was smart, right? Because they crash all the time at that place.
Yeah.
And they did crash, just they never did it at the right time. What the hell?
Sorry to hear that.
Good finish to the race, though.
I didn't catch it.
Well, you know what it was? It was like an episode of Walking Dead. Suck, 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 suck. Wow.
Yeah.
Come back next week. That was pretty much what it was.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. But that's about it, man. Everything else pretty quiet. Looking forward to a fun week here. And I did watch those fights, and I thought, well, did they stop the Gracie fight too soon? It seemed awful weird that, I mean, he was getting hit, but it didn't look like he was really hitting him. It looked like he was just kind of flapping his glove at him.
He was hitting him, and Ken wasn't fighting back, which, I mean, if you take unanswered punches, even if they don't look like much, it's not, you know, the wrong thing to stop it. I mean, it looked really terrible.
Yeah.
But I expected that fight to look really terrible. That's what you get when you have 250-something-year-old men fighting in a cage.
When was the last time Ken Shamrock won a fight?
I don't even know. I couldn't tell you. And then, the fight before it, I've covered MMA, I've watched MMA forever, right? Since 1994. I've covered it professionally since 2004. And I've been to, I don't know, even know how many UFC cards. I've been to countless local regional cards, pro and amateur. That was the worst fight I've ever seen in my whole life. It could not have, there's nothing that could have happened that would have made that fight worse. It made me wish that they would have offered me that money to fight Dada 5000. Like, I feel like if I would have gotten the money Kimbo would have gotten, I feel like I could have beat that guy. And I'm not a great fighter.
All you had to do was stand around till he ran out of gas halfway through the first round.
Yeah. All you have to do is move a little bit. And, I mean, it was just embarrassing. And the fact that there were a couple things that are disturbing about this. Kimbo Slice looked almost as bad as him. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, this was not.
He was sucking air too.
This was not a lopsided fight where, you know, Kimbo dominated this guy who was super, super terrible. Here's a couple things that make that even worse. Kimbo Slice beat Ken Shamrock like a couple months ago. So that tells you how bad Ken Shamrock is now. Even worse, Dada 5000 has 2 wins in MMA. That means there are 2 people in the world worse than him. Now, of course, I looked up their records. It's like a combined 1 and 16, their records. So, I mean, it was basically guys that they put in there that had no business being in there that they knew he could beat. And he did, to his credit. But, I mean, it was just a really – I mean, it was wildly entertaining, especially the part at the end where he almost died.
Yeah.
And he was, like, convulsing, and they had to stretch him out of there. I mean, that was kind of interesting.
He was trying to quit. For the second half of the fight, he was just trying to quit. He wanted to get hit and go down.
I mean.
And Kimbo couldn't even hit him. That was the worst part.
Oh,
this guy's standing here not moving, and Kimbo can't even land a punch on him.
That was one of those things where there sometimes you just have a bad card. And if you went to those fights and you got there just in time for the televised fights, I'm sorry. The non-televised fights, the fights that, you know, like the prelims.
Yeah.
Those were actually some really good fights. I mean, there was some entertaining stuff there. The televised card, it was just really, really bad. And it happens sometimes, but I mean, this is kind of the risk you take when you take guys like, well, I mean, for you, like I said, you took two 50-year-old something men, 50-plus-year-old men, and put them in your main event. And your other fight are two guys who have minimal MMA experience. I think they had a combined 7 fights going into this thing. And
Kimbo was a thing 5 years ago, too.
Right.
He's old, too, let's be honest.
There's a recipe, like, you know, when you do these carnival-style fights, there's a chance that it's entertaining, and there's a chance that it's awful and embarrassing. And unfortunately for Bellator, it turned out to be awful and embarrassing. Those two fights did.
Hmm. Well, I think you were just hoping one of them would be good.
Like, the ref, you could see Big John, who's refed a bunch of big fights in his career. You could see him just sad for the guys and like wanting to find a reason to stop it, but no one could land a punch that was even remotely in the range of something that you could stop the fight on. And finally, I mean, mercifully, Dada 5000 fell down and they stopped it, but it was...
And it even took him a long time to fall down.
Oh.
That was the worst part. He's just sort of staggering backwards and you're just like, dude, fall down, fall down. And the best part is Kimbo completely misses with the punch.
Yeah.
And then
he falls
down.
Shoulder brushed him and he falls down. But then it turns out that he fell down because he was dying.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. Got some football stuff to talk about when we come back. And we got a lot of good stuff, too, which we'll get to at some point during the day. Including Pablo Sandoval needing to visit Quick Weight Loss Center. Did you see that picture? Oh, goodness.
I saw it. Are you surprised is the other question.
No, but...
Of course not.
He's one of those guys that he's always going to be big. But when they told him to come back in shape, and he's like, okay, I'm going to be in shape. I'm going to be rounder.
Fred, sometimes... we'll talk about this on the
other side. We'll do it when we come back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. With a
set your clock and grab your job.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. And we're talking about Pablo Sandoval. What do you think, 30 pounds heavier than he was last year?
Yeah, you know, like you said, they told him to be in shape. And, I mean, when was that? I mean, September, October, the last time they saw him?
Yep.
We were just talking, you know, Jung told us on Friday the show starts at 3. We forgot. Over the weekend. I mean, imagine if you had Thanksgiving and Christmas and all these things going, and Halloween, and you know, all these things going on. And then you're like, oh, I got spring training. And then you get there and you're like probably yesterday, he was like, oh, damn, they told me to show up in shape. I totally forgot. That happens, right? I mean, it happened to us today.
Yeah, I think that's it.
He just forgot.
Yeah. He says he's not too concerned. He says, I don't weigh in at all. I just do my work. Try to do everything I can.
Do my work.
I don't weigh in all off season. I just try to get better, be in better position, be an athlete. This is what happens when you pay a fat guy a lot of money. He's just going to get fatter. But,
I mean, this is nothing new for him. And really, going back over his career, I mean, he's always kind of carried that weight. But specifically when he was with the Giants, no one complained because the guy put up numbers every year.
Yep.
Last year, he missed games. He had a bad season. Then they were concerned. And so they're like, hey, man, you're not 21, 22 anymore. You got to get your ass in shape. And he just didn't do it. You know, it's not like he's ever been a skinny guy.
Right.
It's just when you're a fatso and you're not getting the job done, you know, that's something they're going to look at. And right now he's a fatso not getting the job done.
Well, since we're on baseball, can we agree that baseball players are probably the biggest kitty cats of all athletes? Maybe soccer players, but they actually have contact a lot. Is there a sport where you see baseball players getting ridiculous injuries more than anything other than baseball? I mean, guys hurting themselves, putting clothes on and things like that. I think I have my new favorite one. Are you familiar with Dodger second baseman Micah Johnson?
Yeah. Slightly familiar. Not, I mean, I don't know him. We're not friends, but he's a fringe major leaguer.
Yeah. Well, he's going to miss a week of spring training due to a left hand injury.
Okay.
Which that's common, right? Well, it's all fine and dandy until you find out how he hurt himself. Someone tweeted out, first injury of spring, Dodgers' Micah Johnson needed stitches in his left hand. Mishap trying to remove avocado pit.
Oh.
Should heal dangerous. In a week.
That's why my wife pits all my avocados for me. I can't do that.
Has she ever sliced her finger off or anything?
No.
So she still has all her digits?
She still got them.
Okay. No stitches?
Nope. Not yet.
So, but she's not a baseball player. She doesn't have great hand-eye coordination like he does.
No.
I'm just curious. baseball players are all the time hurting themselves, getting food ready and going in the shower and dreaming about spiders. What the hell? Cutting yourself while trying to get a pit out of an avocado. Maybe you ought to have somebody else do that for you. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Texter asked, you think Chris Long is a good fit with Dallas, and what are the odds he signs with them? I think he'd be a good fit. I don't know what their cap situation is going to be. They've obviously got some holes to fill, but that's a guy they probably should take a look at. I think somebody's going to pay him a big chunk of money, but I do think he fits that defense at least.
Yeah.
More so than I know a couple people asked him about him and the Texans. I think he's a much better fit for Dallas than he would be for Houston.
Well, I think that he needs to be in a 4-3.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, there are a lot of contending teams out there that are interested in him. And if that's the case, then obviously, you know, that's where he wants to end up.
And you know, he should be in a position to pick a team like that because, you know, he's had to play on a garbage team for his entire career. And, you know, he's a guy that's going to help some teams. Especially if you look at, well, to me it's like Anderson Varejao signing with the Warriors. I mean, you get a chance to go play for somebody that can get to the playoffs, you do it, right?
Yeah.
And I think the Cowboys, I wouldn't say the Cowboys aren't contenders. I mean, they had a bad year last year, but I think you can pretty much put all that on the Romo injury and some other stuff. Defense didn't play well either. I mean, it was a combination of things. But I don't think that team's that far away. But I also think he's the kind of guy who could go to a team that's a lot closer.
Yeah.
And still get a decent deal and be able to help that team. So I think it's a possibility. I'm sure they'll look into it. I'd be kind of surprised if he wound up there. Some other just general football stuff. So there's no word yet from Peyton Manning on whether or not he wants to retire or what. Basically have 2 weeks now. They've got 15 days for the Broncos to cut him. And I think obviously the conventional thinking is they were going to let him make up his mind. And if he was going to retire, then that way they don't have to cut him.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he decided he wanted to keep playing, then they were going to have to cut him, and that's, you know, basically how it was going to play out. Well, they got 2 weeks now, and he hasn't really said anything, but on March 8, his $19 million salary becomes fully guaranteed. There's no way on earth Peyton Manning is still on that roster on March 8th. Not for $19 million.
That's my guess.
And I'm guessing he probably wants to keep playing.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think with all this stuff, the best thing for him to do is ride off into the sunset.
I think it is the best thing for him to do. I don't know that that's what he's going to do, though. So, Texter says, my wife cut the end of her index finger off when cooking. She wrapped it in a paper towel, threw the tip in the garbage, and kept cooking. True story.
Well.
Okay.
It's a little bit gross. Yeah. Not going to lie. One time when I, my very first job was at Baskin-Robbins, and I worked with a kid named Eric Jones who got me the job, actually. So he was kind of my, he was like the shift manager, and we were cleaning up, and he was washing dishes, and I was like trying to save time. I would slide everything down. We had like a steel counter. I was just sliding everything down into the sink where he was doing dishes, including the knife that we used to make banana splits. And he pulled his hand out of the dishwater, and the knife was sticking through his finger. So, like, he was holding out his hand, and the knife was just sticking into his finger and out the other side. I was like, oh! But, yeah, he didn't lose his finger.
Well, luckily. That's good. The worst I ever did was when I was a kid, we had a go-kart. Mm-hmm. And we had a, like, my dad had this really big yard that we had turned into basically, because we had motorcycle, go-kart, and bicycle. So, we basically made a motocross track out of his yard. And, you know, I'm flying around in this go-kart, and I lose control of it and smash into a fence. And I look down, and my finger is, like, completely sideways, the tip of it. It's just hanging there. And I had cut it on the steering wheel. Like, whenever I hit it, the steering wheel caught it. You know, like an idiot, I just go and wrap a Band-Aid on it and just keep going. Until it started getting infected and I had to go to the doctor. But yeah, that's about the worst I've ever done on something like that. And it was just stupid. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And you get a lot of questions about what I think the Texans are going to do at running back. I don't think there's any way to tell until they make that. First, they have to make the decision on Aaron Foster, which I think is made.
Maybe. If it's not made, then, I mean,
yeah,
it should have been.
Yeah, and unless he's going to come back at a much lesser salary, then I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to go get a veteran guy, and they'll probably draft somebody. I don't think they'll draft someone in the first round.
Even though every mock draft seems
every
to
mock
say
draft
Ezekiel
has
Elliott,
Ezekiel
I'd be
Elliott.
Surprised.
Yeah, and I just don't think I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll see. Michael says, my first job was an ice cream parlor. Some girl broke her wrist scooping ice cream. It was too frozen, apparently.
I had the, and when I was, you know, 15, 16, I was really skinny. Couldn't gain weight to save my life. My right forearm was just swole from scooping ice cream. My left one was really skinny. So you can imagine what the assumption was of,
oh, of
course. A 15, 16-year-old boy. Yeah.
It probably was accurate.
At times, but
that's why you have to go lefty
to scoop.
No, you scoop righty.
Oh,
you self scoop lefty.
Gotcha.
Just humble suggestion. All right, quick break. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are the spark that shines a light where we could belong.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And if you stick around till 5 o'clock today, we have a little announcement about tomorrow's show.
All right.
So let's grab a phone call. Mike, you are on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, how y'all doing, sports?
We're doing sports. What's up with you?
That's right. Hey, I have a friend in Denver, and doesn't really know the players directly, but hangs around as much as he can. But he told me something interesting over the weekend. He said the reason Peyton Manning hasn't really announced his retirement, and he really feels he will, that he's just trying to really enjoy the moment right now. Before he rides off into sunset, that retirement would really be like the other side of it, that it's certainly over for, you know, forever. And just enjoying the moment. And
yeah,
we'll retire probably sometime next week is what my friend thinks.
Okay.
He seems to be really good about knowing Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to...
I hope that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do it, though, and maybe he has told the management of that team that he's planning to. I hope that's the case. Hopefully he's not stringing them along. I understand if he doesn't want to make a public announcement, but if he went to John Elway and said, look, I'm gone. I want you to know it, but I don't want it to go out yet that I'm gone. I can respect that. But I hope he's not, you know, kind of pulling the whole thing along.
I don't know how he's enjoying the ride, though, because everything that's happened since the damn Super Bowl has
been
about...
Yeah, there's nothing to enjoy. It's got to be a pain in the ass.
It's about putting
him.
His butt on some chick from 20 years ago. So... I hope that's the case, man, because I think he's done, and it would really be in his best interest to not keep playing. But, you know, it's hard to tell a guy that if he thinks he's got something left.
Yeah.
And, hey, you got the Rams out there in L.A. probably willing to throw money at him for a year to come out and play quarterback. There's a lot of teams that would probably do it. If I were owner of a team, it wouldn't be me. I think at this point, you've missed that train. But I hope he retires.
Yeah.
We shall see. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And, yeah, it's funny because we talk about mock drafts and everybody has the Texans taking Ezekiel Elliott, which, okay, if I were going to bet, more likely Texans trade up and take a quarterback than take Ezekiel Elliott at 22.
I would think so, too.
But... mock drafts are probably the dumbest thing ever created, and yet I love them. I'm addicted to them.
I like them, too.
I even have a site that has every mock draft, and I'll go through and look at different ones, including seven-round mock drafts, which are even the most ridiculous, dumb thing ever created is a seven-round draft, mock draft, and I'm reading it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that'd be a pretty good six-round pick for the Texans. Yeah, if that guy goes there, that'd be about right.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. I don't know why I like him so much. But I can't help myself. So I won't be doing a lot of mock draft stuff. Apparently, and obviously the combine starting this week, that's going to get all that talk going again. But came out today that according to almost everybody's mock drafts, CBS, NFL.com, Mel Kiper, they almost all have Laremy Tunsil going to the Titans number one.
Seen that too. Makes sense.
It does, because you can move Taylor Lewan to the right side where maybe he won't be quite the disaster he's been. And if you're going to have a franchise quarterback, you got to protect him. And this guy is about as close to can't miss. Of course, I thought the same thing about Greg Robinson when he came into the draft. But this guy is an absolute beast, and that's, you know, he's the kind of guy that could turn into a, you know, perennial Pro Bowl tackle for you. If you can get a guy like that, I think you snag him. Build that offensive line, protect Mariota, and yeah, I think that'd be a great pick. The other names that I've seen up there just don't do much for me. Maybe it's because I know he plays defensive end, so it doesn't really matter, but boy, Joey Bosa's not a smart man. That's one of those guys when he goes and interviews with teams, they're going to be like, okay, all right, good luck. That was so brutal. 713-780-ESPN is your number. But I think that if you're the Titans, the first thing you probably try to do is trade down for somebody who falls in love with Carson Wentz or somebody like that and thinks they have to have him and get multiple picks. But that's always easier said than done. I mean, it really takes somebody going full Redskin and going after RG3 for you to get that kind of deal.
Yeah.
We just don't see it very often. And I know the Texans tried to trade the Clowney pick. They just, nobody wanted to do it. And especially in a draft like this, I don't know that there's a quarterback I know there's not a quarterback that's worth going number one, but they'll fall in love with somebody and think he is. But could you, I mean, and then that team decides, oh, I'm going to trade a big package up there to get him. The Texans are too far down. It wouldn't be them, and the Titans wouldn't trade with them anyway, I wouldn't think.
Agreed.
But, you know, if you're sitting, you want to get ahead of the Browns for somebody, then you're probably going to offer them a package.
Yeah.
Because you got to think the Browns are taking a quarterback.
They have to.
I mean, again. But
if they do anything else, it's stupid.
Yeah, well.
But they're the Browns, so.
I hope.
That's like I say, trading back into the first round to get Johnny Manziel. They'd have to be stupid to do that, and then boom, they did it.
Well, I do have a lot. I do think Hugh Jackson will be kind of a calming influence there, hopefully. I have a lot of faith in him, and I hope that he gets him to do the right thing and gets his kind of players in there. And because Browns fans actually deserve a team that doesn't completely suck. That's a good fan base. And yet they keep getting this trash thrown at them every year.
Yeah.
And whether it's Brandon Whedon, Brady Quinn, Johnny Football, all these guys. And not just that, their other picks haven't been that great in recent years either. But, you know, maybe they'll turn that thing around. But I think, you know, they'll definitely take one. It's just which one of those guys do you think will work out? And, yeah, you know, I just, we talk about this a lot. I don't see one of those guys being a, really any of these quarterbacks being a top 10 guy. I see a lot of guys that should go 11 to 25.
But, I agree with that.
But.
You don't see me that you'd take in the top 10, but somebody's 10, right. 10 teams have to pick in the top 10.
But if you remember the last time you had this, you had a steady diet of Ponders, Lockers, and Gabberts.
Yeah.
Where teams drafted them high because they needed quarterbacks. And that includes the Texans need one too. They should be able to get one of those guys at 22, but they probably won't because teams are going to get desperate. We talked about the Rams. Okay. If the Rams go out and sign Peyton Manning, maybe they don't draft one, but yeah. If they do sign Peyton Manning, then they're probably taking somebody. The Browns are probably taking somebody. I don't know if the Cowboys are going to do it. Saw a story today that they're not. They don't really think RG3 is a fit. So, you know, all that talk about him maybe going there as a backup, I think is probably not happening. So, you know, maybe they're in the market, maybe they're not, but some other teams are going to be. And, you know, and then somebody will fall in love with some guy we're not even talking about yet either. I mean, Blake Bortles shot up the map 2 years ago. Let's squeeze in a quick phone call before we go to break. Rich, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir. Rich? Hello, Rich.
Hello.
Hey, sports.
How's it going, man? Everything all right?
It's sports.
Yes, sir. Hey, I was calling about what happened with your little corgi dog. Man, I heard the tail end of your story last week about having to put him down, and my wife and I have a corgi. I was just kind of curious to see what came of your little dog.
He passed on Friday, and we went out and buried him. And, yep, dust in the wind for my little corgi dog, Bandit. I have two. I had two, so we still have one dog, another corgi. But he's the ornery one that doesn't really like people.
Has he changed at all since he's the only one? Has he made it worse or has it made him better?
Well, he was the first one I had. I had him before I met my wife. But I mean, I've had him for 13 years.
Wow.
And he, like when we got Bandit, it kind of changed him for the better. You know, it kind of, because he realized that dog was so sweet that, I mean, if Bailey didn't change his ways, then Bandit would get all the love and no one would like Bailey. So he changed a little bit and he's softened his heart some. But like when kids come over to the house and stuff, and there were kids over this weekend and they all want to pet the dog. No, he doesn't like kids. Mm. He tolerates my kids, doesn't like strange kids at all, hates black people, which almost all my son's friends are black. And so every time these kids come over, I mean, he's just a nervous wreck because he's a racist. So the other dog, though, like they would all carry him around like a damn pillow pet, and he didn't care. So that part of the dynamic has been weird. And then last night, like we were kind of talking, my wife and I, what's the appropriate time like to wait to get another dog? Like do you jump right in? Do you wait a few months, wait a year? What do you do with that?
I honestly, I waited like 2 years after the last one died before I got another one.
Yeah.
But in retrospect, I should have gone and got another one a lot sooner. You know, give yourself the proper mourning time.
Yeah.
And then go get a new dog.
All right.
That would be my thought. You need another corgi?
I don't know.
So that's the one thing I always try to do is get a different breed the next time.
Okay.
But that doesn't make it right. That's just there's some
that's your style.
There's some people that are totally committed to one breed. Like I have a friend that will only get golden retrievers.
I kind of want to do a rescue this time.
See, that's what we did with the last one, and it worked out great. And I mean, there's some really nice dogs in there that we got ours at Bark, and it was mostly pit bulls, but there were a few, and like this one just kind of stood out because you don't see too many ridgebacks in a rescue, but it worked out great. So I think that's a cool thing. All right, we're gonna take a very quick break. We got a Cowboys update for you when we come back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Texas Kansas State College Basketball, 6 p.m. tonight on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 is your number. Happy Monday. Hope you're having a great one. Hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. Getting started a little bit early today, so because we're out at 5:30 for UT basketball. So getting a lot of suggestions from people about wouldn't hesitate on your next dog being a rescue. And a whole bunch of people apparently have done that and have great success with them.
This is my other issue is I don't know if my remaining dog will tolerate a new dog at this point in his life, you know?
Yeah.
Like he might.
You already got a cat too, right?
Yeah, we've got a cat, but he's scared of the cat, so they avoid each other. You know, they see each other walking and they go the other way. But I mean, it will be more difficult for a dog. So I don't know. I think I may wait till after the summer because I'm gonna go on like a little vacation. I'm gonna have to board dogs anyway.
Yeah,
save me some money.
Wait till after that, maybe. Yeah. And maybe you get it for Christmas present to the kids or something.
Yeah.
Do it around then. Gives you plenty of time. Yeah, man, I'm overwhelmed with texts on people with rescue dogs and how great they are. So I love mine. That worked out. 713-780-ESPN, I promised you a Cowboys update. Apparently, according to, earlier we had Ed Werder saying that they're not interested in RG3. But apparently, Mike Fisher of the Fan in Dallas says the Cowboys will not try to bring back Greg Hardy.
Hmm.
Which I guess isn't really surprising based on some of the things you heard out of there and locker room issues. But, boy, if Jerry Jones doesn't want you, that's not a good sign.
Yeah. Although now he's a year removed from the incident, he did not have at least... I mean, there were rumors of him not being the best teammate, but there were no, you know, off the field issues. So maybe teams will be more willing to take a shot at the guy. I don't know. That's a guy that has enough. He's got enough talent that I'd take a chance on him. You know, if I were running a team, but there, I know that. I mean, there's for instance, a team like the Texans, they're going to want nothing to do with the guy.
Right, and I don't blame them for that, but. Yeah, I what concerns me is the locker room stuff as much as anything.
Yeah.
And the fact that his performance really fell off after Thanksgiving. And of course now they got Randy Gregory suspended for 4 games on top of everything else.
Yeah.
Which that's not a good sign. Hey, I gotta tell you about this real quick. Kickoff spring with Gal Media on the golf course. We're playing at Sugar Creek Country Club Monday, February 29th. Buy a spot for just $50. Okay, here's what you get for $50. Green fees?
I can't believe this deal.
I can't either. This is I can you even get green fees for $50?
I don't think so. I don't remember the last time I played a round of golf for under $50.
I don't either. And but here's what you get: green fees, golf cart, lunch, dinner, beer, water, snacks, goodie bag, and you get to hang out with a bunch of cool people. Spots are very limited, so get yours now. Call Michelle 713-479-5346 or email her at golf@galmedia.com. That's going to be fun. That's a week from today.
I guess there's some. We got a bunch of stuff to talk about. We got the Rockets trade that didn't happen.
Yeah, the non-trade now.
We've got Joseph Randall, who continues to find his way into trouble. This guy's a knucklehead, and I've got Jong, who met his girlfriend on Tinder. He's lucky he did when he did, because girls on Tinder have changed. So we've got a Tinder story we're going to tell a little bit later too. There's a lot going on the show today.
Yeah, I noticed Jong. What was it you tweeted out that she said about you?
She said I had resting bitch face.
Yeah, you do look kind of grumpy usually, unless you make effort.
Now, I did, interns in the past have said that I look very mean.
You kind of do.
So, I don't know. Hmm. And I think AJ on Facebook said I did have resting bitch face.
No, I agree. Yeah, you do.
I guess.
I don't know. I guess I look like a mean person.
I mean, you don't look mean. You just look like you're salty all the time. Like, you look like you're always kind of angry. I mean, every once in a while you'll smile, but if you're not smiling or you're not engaged in conversation, you look like kind of an a-hole.
Thank you. I don't know. I feel like I'm a pretty happy person. I don't know. I guess maybe my resting face is pretty bitchy.
Yeah, you just don't look happy. Oh, speaking of, people. I don't even know how to transition this, but
go right ahead.
We got to talk about Charlie Strong too.
Yeah. Oh man,
it's so great. Louisville seems to—they've got a knack for finding coaches who are having affairs. They're professionals with this.
Well, at least with the one they hired now, they knew going in what was up with that.
Yeah, they were cool with it. But
yeah. So, all right, very quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.